Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app as well. Dustin Hawkinsmith, Greg Pickle, back with you. Continue our season preview. This is season makers. These are our keys. Guys who, if they defy expectations, Greg, Penn State can have a bigger year than you might expect. The position we're focusing on now is wide receiver and tight end. And I think this is a really good position to try to look at because in a lot of respects, outside of your Juwan Johnson, maybe, or maybe your DeAndre Tompkins, anything you get, it's not icing on the cake, but there's not a lot of expectations elsewhere, especially at the tight end position.
Yeah, no doubt. You look at what Penn State has had over the last couple of years, first with Josh Gattis and then with David Corley, and they have obviously been able to develop wide receivers. Deshaun Hamilton, you know, Chris Godwin all come to mind. Saeed Blacknell is a guy that had a few big catches but never obviously became the player that we thought he would. So you've had some other ones in that mix too, but going into this season, it really comes down to the guy that everyone believes is going to be the star, Juwan Johnson, and the guy that he sort of looks like but is a few years younger, and that's Justin Shorter. And what production you get out of those two, there's another freshman receiver getting some buzz that we'll get to in a little bit. But to me, for Penn State to obviously move on from Joe Moorhead and Saquon Barkley, it's not just about Ricky Ronnie and Miles Sanders. It's about the rest of this offense really stepping up and being able to take on some roles that maybe they weren't asked to before because they obviously had not easier times, but Saquon Barkley took some pressure off of positions and guys, and so did Mike Gesicki as a tight end and Deshaun Hamilton as a receiver, and now there's some guys that sort of have to step into roles and take the pressure off of some other spots, so we'll see how it plays out.
I wanted to remind you, Labatt Blue is giving away a pair of tickets to every home game this season. Now we're looking ahead to the season opener. For your chance to win tickets to the Kent State game, you can visit one of these three great outlets, Oakhurst Beverage in Harrisburg, Pletcher's Beer Distributor in State College, or Home Service Beverage in Williamsport. We'll pull the winner on air here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by Labatt Blue, Labatt Blue Light, Bleed Blue and White, Drink Blue and Light, here with us on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Let's just start at the top. I talked about Juwan Johnson being a known central figure in the passing game and the offense as a whole, but how would the offense be better, Greg, if he really emerged not just as a good down-to-down option, but somebody who's great down the field, somebody who can step into a red zone role? If he's a dominator, what does that do for the offense?
Well, I mean, it goes back to what I was saying a few minutes ago, which is that it takes the pressure off of some other guys who maybe have not been used to it, maybe just haven't been able to perform at that level, or maybe haven't been asked to. So the one thing I would say about Juwan Johnson is I think it's time to lower the ceiling for him this year. And it's not because of his personal talent ceiling, which is extremely high, but this offense is so geared. 9 different guys touched the ball in the first half of the Fiesta Bowl. And sometimes there was one game during Chris Godwin's prolific career where he didn't have a catch. And you have a hard time believing that Penn State could win a game without him having a catch. But this is an offense that is going to spread the ball around. It's going to get a lot of guys on the field. Penn State has, what, 9 or 10 receivers it could probably put out there at any given moment. So this is a group that is going to rotate. It's going to see a lot of different guys play. And that could very easily impact Juwan Johnson's final stat line, whether it's a touchdown perspective, whether it's a yardage perspective, or whether it's a catch perspective. I mean, this offense is not necessarily one where your number one receiver gets the ball, you know, as much as other schools. It's going to be spread around because, as somebody within the program said, whether it was Moorhead or I believe it was actually Ricky Ronnie, the beauty of this offense that Penn State runs is that it intends to get the person with that's supposed to be open the ball, and that's not always your best guy.
Yeah, and really, you know, the depth approach, we've talked about that being a desire, and I think you saw that in a lot of respects, even when Chris Godwin was in town, and I think that's going to be, you know, exaggerated a little bit this year. I'm curious to see who comes into a role where we're pushing the ball down the field. But really, you know, one of the big answers here is where are all the catches going without Deshaun Hamilton, without Mike Gesicki? I'll include Saeed Blacknell in that group as well. There's some production to make up for. Saquon Barkley, you know, it's not part of this wide receiver and tight end discussion, but he caught a lot of balls out of the backfield too. And that's really one of the big, you know, maybe the big looming issue aside from replacing Saquon is how you move the chains with a bunch of new faces at wide receiver and tight end.
Yeah, to again, listen back to what Ricky Ronnie said earlier this year and really all the way back in December to the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, again, it's about finding all of your weapons and figuring out how to best deploy them, whether that's four wide receiver sets, whether that's having a tight end on the field, whether it's having Tommy Stevens on the field at some capacity, whether it's beside, behind, or outside of Trace McSorley, depending on how the formation sets up. I mean, those are the questions Penn State's going to have to answer. And if they're able to answer them, then this offense is not going to miss a beat. If they struggle to answer them early on, then it is. That's really where we're at this point. What is the identity of the 2018 Penn State football offense? And will we know it by the time September 29th arrives when Ohio State comes town? That probably tells you by that point, we're 4 weeks into the season, we're going to know a lot about Penn State's new pieces, the ones that are being asked to step up on offense and defense, and also what they want to do, who they want to be, and what they're going to be. James Franklin talks a lot about identity and knowing what your identity is, and it's been successful for Penn State so far, but it was also pretty easy. You had a quarterback who was a stud, and you had a running back who was an all-generational talent, and you had some pretty good surrounding pieces that went high in the NFL draft surrounding those two. This year, it's not so much the case as we sit here and talk today, which is to say that Penn State knows it has NFL caliber talent on the roster, but we haven't seen all that much in action yet. So that's sort of the key for me, is how soon do these guys figure it out and put an identity on the field?
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking Penn State football, looking at wide receivers and tight ends and where we might get some surprise production. This is our Season Makers series. Do have a special announcement from GoPSURV.com for you as well. Going all out for the first game of the year against Appalachian State. They'll be renting RVs at half price for that season opener. It's a special deal for Keystone Kickoff Show listeners. A great opportunity you've been hearing about. GoPSURV.com from us or from elsewhere to go check out what it's all about. There's also an open house Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m., Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to noon. It's a 3:30 p.m. kickoff. The 409 Tailgate Club guys will be there with some barbecue samples. Tailgate wine will be available, and Labatt Blue beer too. So you can check it out. All kinds of stuff happening at GoPSURV.com for more details, more information. Looking at wide receivers just a little bit more yet, Greg. Justin Shorter, the five-star wide receiver, the number one receiver in the country in the 18 class, really freakish in his ability, really mature in his approach. Did you expect to hear more about him at this stage of training camp than you have at this point? And does that mean anything?
The one tricky thing with trying to read those tea leaves is that sometimes guys are asked about specifically and sometimes they aren't. And there's times when James Franklin is really reluctant to list a whole bunch of guys because he always fears he's going to miss a guy or two. And then, you know, we talked earlier in the week about guys having their, you know, the same message to the team as it is to the players and the team as it is to the media and the public. And a guy might think he's doing really well in practice and then coach doesn't mention him at a news conference and then there's confusion and mixed signals and all of that. So did I expect to hear a little bit more buzz? Yes, absolutely I did. Does it mean that the expectations for him to come in and play right away are poof, gone? No, I don't think so. And beyond that, I think that for the Lions to go where they want to go, you're going to have to see him contribute some, because again, unless you are one of the few who feel better about the tight end position than almost universally everybody else does, which is a little bit concerned about it, Penn State's going to have somebody in the red zone or somebody's in the red zone that it can rely on. And just Juwan Johnson looks like that guy, and maybe Justin Shorter is too. Maybe there's some younger guys, redshirt freshmen, that we're not talking about enough either because, you know, they just don't come up that much or they're being overlooked by some of the other guys. But the other thing I would say is that we talk about guys we haven't heard much about. It's been a quiet camp for DeAndre Tompkins too.
Yeah, and I think quietness is his MO.
Yeah, right.
So I think quiet is not necessarily that big a thing, but you know, I think the dynamic is out there that Jahan Dotson is making waves and Justin Shorter isn't, and I think that's not fair to Justin Shorter. But it solidifies the idea of, okay, week one, it may happen, it may not happen, but as the season goes on, We're going to see more and more of Justin Shorter. It's hard to believe that that's not happening. Let's talk about tight ends for a moment, because there's a dynamic here in the offense, and it's another one of these components to the newness of the offense, where Mike Gesicki was so good at making those circus catches, so good in the passing game just in general, especially in the red zone, one of the bigger red zone threats in the league, definitely for Penn State. So that dynamic is gone now. What you have is a group of tight ends where I think the hope and the expectation is that certainly not going to bring what Gesicki brought to the table as a receiver. But if Jonathan Holland, if Nick Bowers and some of those other guys end up being much better blockers and not contributing as much in the passing game, is that going to be enough?
Well, probably not. I mean, if I had to say, I just think it really depends. I mean, Penn State got so much production last year out of Gesicki that it's hard to envision the offense working without that kind of production from the tight end spot. But who's to say it has to be the tight end that produces like that? Why can't it be a fourth receiver if that's the way Penn State wants to go? Or maybe they can get their running back even more involved between Miles Sanders
or the Lion.
You can't forget the Lion, Tommy Stevens. Walking boot or not, baby, the hype rolls on. But I think that the problem with the tight end group is it's so easy to be negative about it because you don't know much about it. So is someone going to surprise us? That's really the thing you wonder about going into the season is a John Holland going to impress, a Danny Dalton, a Nick Bowers, a Pat Freiermuth, a Zach Kuntz, or one of those guys that the last two mentioned going to become freshman All-Americans, or one of the older guys going to finally stay healthy and really put together a good season? You hear bits and pieces of good news about each of these guys, but the problem all of them have had since they've been on campus, the freshmen not included because they haven't been here that long. The problem is that you hear a little bit of good news here and there, but it's mostly dinged up, banged up, can't practice, didn't play, missed this, missed that. And that's really been the MO on those guys throughout the course of their career. If they can fix that this year, maybe we'll be surprised by what we end up seeing.
Tyler Bowen coaching tight ends too. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. One other thing, just as we're on this area, we mentioned the Lion. I forced the Lion into that conversation, but it is a factor when talking about wide receivers and tight ends. How many touches per game would you feel comfortable forecasting for Tommy Stevens? The touches, it could come in all kinds of different ways, and it could help derive the offense's identity if you can take defenses by surprise. How many touches per game would you expect?
I would say I'm going to go with 10.
10 touches per game would be a big number. It's certainly attainable. It's within reach, and there could be rushes. There could be Stevens and McSorley in the same backfield.
Let's say 10 snaps a game.
Snaps, okay.
Actual touches, 5, 6, 7, something like that. He'll be on the field as a decoy some, but I think he's less of a decoy, more of an active participant in the plays he's on the field for this fall, so we'll see. But a bigger role for him, I think.
They put a name on the position. I think it's time to make that a more consistent part of the offense. We're moving on here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Take a Stand is our fourth and final quarter. Stay tuned. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.